Please come to order. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Happy Valentine's Day, Senators.
We'll now practice the pledge. Would you all line up?
Roll call for Wednesday, February the 14th. Anderson?
Here.
Almond?
Here.
Barrasso?
Here.
Burns? Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria? Beck?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hines? Denning? Joe? Johnson?
Here.
Larson?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Moffler?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Peck excused? Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Scott? Scott? Thank you, Mrs. Scott. Sessions? Townsend? Vasey? Von Slatern? President Schiffer?
Here.
DeCaria? Here. Burns? Jennings? Ross? Perkins? And Jennings?
Jennings is here.
Excused.
Would you join us in prayer with Pastor Nell?
I invite you to pray with me, if you would. To God, we thank you for this day and the opportunities we have in it to serve you. God, forgive us for those times we take advantage of the days you've given us and we use them for our own opportunities and for our own gain. And God, thank you for those times when we do get it right and we make the world a better place. God, I pray for these men and women as they lead the people of this state and the challenge it can be to determine what's best and then how to carry that out. God, I pray that they would be smart and patient and gracious. In Jesus' name, amen.
Join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading correction and approval of the journal. Would the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports the Journal of February the 13th, 2007, has been read and recommends it be approved. Senator Perkins, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is approved. Members of the Senate, our doctor for the day is Amy Therese Bell from Siam, and our thought for the day. When a collection of brilliant minds, hearts, and talents come together, expect a masterpiece.
That's what we have here.
Messages from the House.
February the 13th, 2007, from the House of Representatives. Message number 9, Mr. President, this is to inform you that the House has voted to suspend House Rule 24-12, little c, to reconsider the bill listed below. By the vote listed below, the House passed the suspension of rules. House Bill 332, bingo, I 43, no 17. February the 13th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 10. Mr. President, this is to inform you that the House has voted to reconsider the introduction of the bill listed below by the vote listed above. Below, the House has passed the reconsideration. House Bill 332, bingo, I 46, no 14. February the 13th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 11. Mr. President, this is to inform you that the House has passed the introduction of the bill listed below. House Bill 332, bingo, ayes 43, noes 17. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House of Representatives, message 366 on Senate File 111, Vehicle Dealers 2, with the reading clerk, please read it in.
February the 13th, 2007, from the House of Representatives, message number 366, concurrence requested. Mr. President, Senate File number 111, Vehicle Dealers 2, the Senate file listed above, passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 58, noes 2. The House respectfully asks the Senate to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Senator Barrasso.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill, Senate File 111, Vehicle Dealers 2, has to do with the RV sales that occur in the Gillette complex. It's a major issue in terms of economic development in that community. These are some very minor wording amendments. I have visited with the two senators who represent Campbell County in this body, and they agree that we should go ahead and concur, so I'd recommend that the Senate vote yes to concur. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Brasso, did you move that concurrence report?
I will at this time, Mr. President. Thank you. I move the report.
The motion is that the Senate do concur on Senate File 111, Vehicle Dealers 2, and the request is for the Senate to vote aye. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DiCaria?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines, Jennings, excused, Joe, Johnson, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Peck, excused, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Vasey, Von Slatering, President Schiffer,
aye.
Closing vote, closing, vote closed, 27 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have concurred on Senate File 111, Vehicle Dealers 2. House bills on first reading. House Bill 213, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 213, sponsored by Representative Childers, Game and Fish Wolf Management, and Act relating to Game and Fish. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 58, noes 8. Ayes 52, noes 8.
House Bill 213 is assigned to Committee number 6, Travel. House Bill 214, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 214, sponsored by Representative Childers, Street Rods and Custom Vehicles, an act relating to motor vehicles. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 214 is assigned to Committee number 8, Transportation. Reports from standing committees.
February the 14th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 320 in growth, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Allman, Fecht, Hastert, and Scott, conflict, Senator Barrasso, Senator Scott, chairman. February the 14th, 2007, Mr. President, your committee number two, appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 39, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. I, Senators Job, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, House Bill 320 that was just read in, which relates to the electronic medical records, has an appropriation in it. It has to be re-referred to committee number two.
Hearing no objection, so ordered. Bill on second reading. Senate File 1, second reading of the Senate File. I think you better read it in again. I think let's read it in again so everybody knows where
we're at. Senate File 1, appropriations, general government appropriations.
That way everybody knows. You have a few amendments. Second reading amendment number 41 to Senate File 1, the Anderson, Sessions, Beck, Hastert, Allman Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment in?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 41, budget effective 49, Department of Family Services.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And at this time, I would move second reading amendment number 41 to Senate File 1. Ladies and gentlemen, what this amendment is request for $48,000 general fund monies to be given to the Department of Family Assistance for the purpose of a program called the Father Factor. And you have within your pile of things that's been coming out over the last couple of days, a folder that looks much like this. The Father Factor program is a community program for supporting fathers, and I think it's important for you to understand that it's supporting fathers, it's not for supplying fathers or taking the place of fathers. And we know from our experience that every child biologically has a father, but not every child has an active father. Not every child has a father figure. And what this program has done is gone out, and the Father Factor is a local nonprofit organization that supports fathers in all situations. It's not a set of counseling sessions, but it's a support program. And that's what I like best about the Factor, it supports, it doesn't supplant. Father Factor recognizes that fathers are experts when it comes to dealing with specific situations, so fathers decide what to discuss, what to learn, and what to share, and it's done through volunteers of more, perhaps, successful fathers working with those that who struggle more. They deal with parenting issues, co-parenting, establishing a paternity, a child support, father's rights, communication between parents, child development, educational programs, becoming mentors, and then they're heavily involved with community involvement and then advocacy. So again, these funds are used, I think, to establish support groups to help plan activities where fathers and volunteers can be actively involved with children. The amount of money that you see here, again, are federal funds, and what they did is they came forth last year during the budget year, and they asked for $96,000 to go for the biennium I think at that time that the JAC saw fit to give them half the amount to take them 1 year, and then this figure that you see here, then there's their reappearance to go on into the second year of the biennium with this successful program. So with that, I would simply pause and for questions or beg your support. Thank you, Mr. President.
Questions? The question is on second reading amendment number 41, the Senate file 1. Would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Hallman?
Aye.
Bresso?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DiCaria?
Aye.
Beck?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert? Hines? Jennings? Excused? Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Peck? Excused? Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey? Senator Vasey.
No.
Senator Vasey.
No.
Von Slatern.
No.
President Schiffer.
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote. Guys, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. 17 ayes, 11 noes. Who excused?
Second reading amendment number 41, the Senate file 1, has passed the Senate. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor to take an update on the goldenrod?
The floor is yours, Mr. Chairman.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you pull out your goldenrod, and there are two sheets that were just handed out. To start off with the goldenrod, you'll see that right now that the Senate profile, and as we go through day to day, will be profiled against our spending against the House, and you'll see that we have a deficit of $55 million. And that's okay, that's what we're plan on going. I'll show you in a moment how we're on track with the roadmap that we sort of laid out. If you turn to this spreadsheet that just came out that has the dark and column, you'll see that that is sort of the roadmap that we laid out. I've updated it to make sure that it's got some changes. If you have any questions, let me know. But once again, the roadmap was we began the process with about $16 million traditional funds. We allocated spending close to $202 million, leaving a funds required to balance the account of about $185 million. If we use the PMPF transfer, then we've got a balance or a deficit of about $5.9 million. There will be bills that are likely to die with appropriations that will more than compensate for that. Now, if you look at the second sheet, which is the tally sheet, it shows the map of how we're working against the profile. So what I did is on the first part of the column, I showed the second reading amendments that were passed yesterday. And so you see that we passed amendments 2002, 4, 5, 7, and 9. And the total amount of that was about $71 million. So if you go over on the second reading status, which is the second column on the right, if you take the $71 million, you deduct the $16 million that we started with, you end up with about a $55 million deficit. And that is close enough to match your goldenrod. So that shows you that we're on track with where we were up. So that explains the $55 million deficit. If you go back to the left-hand column, I programmed in the amendments that are planned into the roadmap, and you can see that we're on track. So, as I said before, it means that you can't deviate too much from the plan without making changes from priorities. The purposes of this are twofold. One is to let you know not to be alarmed by the $55 million, but there's a plan that we can do it. So if you see the deficit, you see how we're going to address it. And it also shows that when you see the $55 million, it's on track for where we are going, so that folks say, hey, look, you're spending, you're out of control. We're not out of control. We know where we're going. We have a roadmap, and there's the roadmap.
Question for the Chairman of the Appropriations Committee on the handout you just got. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back on Senate File 1, the next amendment is second reading amendment number 10 to Senate File 1, the Vasey Coe Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1. Second reading amendment number 10, budget affected 57, Community College Commission.
Senator Bacon.
Mr. President, I would move second reading amendment 10 to Senate File 1. Mr. President, this is asking for approximately $5.5 million from the general fund to raise the community college salaries to the 100%. Mr. President, we do many things, and we've been asked to prioritize this, and this is a priority. We're in a labor crunch, and we need educators, and we need fully funded educators in these community colleges. And you know, there's many, many stories, but my favorite story is a student that came to me as a BOCES director when we were with Western Wyoming College as an outreach, and she had a little baby in one of those little carriers, and she said, I'm tired of walking up the steps and asking BFS for service. I want to do something with my life. And she did. She started taking community college classes. Today, she's an attorney. I don't know what she's making, but I know she purchased a house, and it wasn't something that a single mother with a child could have afforded. She's doing rather well. That's just one story. And every time that there's a graduation at these community colleges, that story is repeated over and over. But I will say, in order for us to keep the nursing programs, to keep these technical programs, we have got to compete with salaries. Because these nurses, especially in the nursing program, these nurse educators don't run in bunches. And there's been major universities that have shut their programs down because they couldn't find nurse educators. We're fortunate, but if we don't compete, and if we don't keep their salaries up, they will go someplace where they can double their salary or so. Same way with many of these people in the technical. I mean, they're under pressure. I mean, they could walk across the street and go to work for the industry for much more money. So in order for us to be competitive, in order for us to keep those teachers, we need to make sure their salaries come up a little bit. And I know what I'm going to hear, but I'll just tell you, any time in my life that I've looked at it, if I have the choice, you need to save some money. I'm not saying that. But also, when you invest with people, you will get that return much more than the 5% interest.
Discussion, Senator Cole.
Mr. President, thank you. You know, as we talk about community colleges and we do the things we're doing, and I've actually had two handouts distributed. And we've had a great debate here about community colleges, and we've talked about the role they're going to play, the working group we're going to put together out there to look at their function in the state. And I can tell you that I don't think anything we do out there, when we start looking at the function of community colleges, does any good unless we're paying the people that work at our community colleges properly. Members of the Senate, we just aren't doing that yet. Now, if you think about the one handout I have here that says that the faculty is about 20.3% behind the national average, classified about 18% behind the regional average, administration professionals 10% behind the regional average. I think that says a lot. Now, I also handed off to you what we did last year This body did last year House Bill 139, the recalibration. And what we did with teacher salaries in K-12. Now, if you look at that again, I will refresh you that we increased funding for FTE, over $8,000 for FTE. That has had a significant impact on community colleges. We are losing teachers from community colleges to K-12. That's happening out there. It makes sense to bring the salaries up at community colleges. We have 7 counties out there that use pay 5 mills to support what they can there at the community college to do the best they can based on assessed valuation. You're probably going to hear that they're giving, so much every year. Bottom line is, if we look at the function of community colleges, these people got to be paid properly. Those 7 community colleges have a huge, significant function in what's going on in the state today with mineral development. So I urge you to support the amendment. I have a priority on this amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, I'm not going to speak to with respect to the roadmap, and I'm not going to speak to it with respect to whether or not we can afford or we can't afford it. What I'm going to speak to is with respect to the reasoning behind where the budget office and the executive branch made the recommendations, the JAC concurred. And you need to be paying attention to these things, because if the notion is that we are going to pay 100% of all the salary increases that are in the University of Wyoming and in the community colleges, get ready for a big ticket. Folks, when you recall that on the 13th, I put out a handout, and it shows all of the raises that we have, the history of the faculty. The community colleges are well represented on this body and on the body across the floor. And every time the state employees come in and get a raise, we come in here and we give them a raise. They get a raise almost annually. The community colleges asked for $14 million. We funded 100% of the general fund portion of those salaries. On the second sheet, you'll see their mill levies. Their mill levies are going up. There's a mill levy component to their revenues. And that's part of what pays for their salaries. You see regular tuition increases. That's part of it. The University of Wyoming has to give tuition increases on occasion to pay for increased salaries. And in fact, they have to generate other resources of dollars. And so each time that there are raise requests, they come in here, and part of what we do is assess what is our portion out of the general fund. Now, if you want 100% from these entities, then fair enough. Let's start looking at their capital construction and make sure they only build at a level that we're prepared to pay. But if the notion is that you can build whatever you want, hire whatever you want, and then we'll just pay your dollars and we have no control of it, it makes no sense. Part of what restrains them in their employment with respect to their growth is that they do have a non-general fund component. But if the notion is whatever you want, whatever you build, whoever you hire, we'll just pay the increases, folks, you won't be able to afford that, because we don't regulate their growth and we don't regulate their numbers. Now I hear that they've lost teachers to K-12, and I got to tell you, my answer is if those people want to go teach our high school kids, great. And the idea that they're going to recruit out of our K-12 system doesn't do much for me. And I don't know what the circumstances are there, and I don't know whether it's one or two teachers, but I simply, if you want to start looking at whether the salaries are adequate, look at the salary on a person-by-person issue. But the purpose or the reason the executive branch and the budget office made the recommendation, which we followed and which we funded 100%, has a basis in fact. I urge you to reject the amendment.
Further discussion. The question is on second reading amendment. Senator Cole.
For my second shot. I can't say that the good things that the Senate Appropriations Chairman says isn't totally all true, but part of our problem with community colleges is that the local resources at the local level with the 5 mils that all 7 counties levy out there for community colleges, the assessed valuation just doesn't support being able to come back in and raise salaries. It doesn't do it in my county. It doesn't do it in Goshen County. It doesn't do it in Laramie County. It doesn't do it in Natrona County. Might do it in Sweetwater County, where there's a tremendous mineral valuation. But remember, as we talk about the 5 mils that we have out there, the 2 highest assessed valuation counties in the state don't participate. The only way we have with community colleges to fund salaries is to come to the state. We don't have any other way locally to do it. It's just not there. Now, also, these 7 counties out there, I know we're looking at capital construction. Those 7 counties, like at my college, we built all those buildings with bond issues. We're having trouble now trying to keep up with all that. We don't have a way to fund that stuff. Salaries is no different. It's fair that we have a competitive salary structure. Community colleges are a huge part of what goes on in the state, just as is UW. You know, there's no mill levy being assessed around the state to fund UW. There is somebody, tell me where it is. If that's a community college, there's a mill levy in place in those counties to fund community colleges. I'd ask that you support the amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, and Mr. President. I agree the system's broken. It makes no sense that Laramie County right here raises a mill levy to build a facility in Laramie. And Laramie residents are in the city of Laramie. We have a campus. We have a building that we didn't pay one penny for. It's being paid by taxpayers here. It makes no sense, and it's not fair. But what we're doing with this amendment is we're saying, Laramie County, if you build the facility over there, we'll pay you on an FTE basis, and we'll increase your general fund. So they make money by building a facility in another campus and increasing their FTE. They didn't do it just out of the goodness of their heart. They did it because they're getting more money out of the general fund. And the system encourages new construction, new facilities, so you can increase your FTE, and you can rob money from Powell because of the formula. And all this is doing is saying, hey, this is a great broken formula. Let's kick more money into it. And I say, let's restrain them to the 60% notion, and let's fix the system. But you're not going to fix it by just throwing in and paying 100% of every salary increase every time they grow without any state supervision.
Mr. Chairman, speaking on against the amendment, we're getting the cart before the horse. First thing we've got to do is decide, are we going to make all of our community colleges state colleges? And if we are, then let's make them state colleges. Then we tax every county in the state 5 mils to support our colleges. So I'd hope you turn this amendment down and let the Education Committee do it in the interim. Decide what we're going to do with our community colleges. We're either making state colleges or whatever, but we're going the wrong direction.
Further discussion. Senator
Basin, second time. What we're really doing this morning is we're fiddling while Rome burns. We have got to have a competitive workforce in this state. And the way we do it is through trained educators that can educate in those places that we need them. That, you know, and we can argue about the system and about what's fair and what's not. But if we don't have people that can teach those technical courses, if we don't have people that can teach nurses, if we don't have people that can teach Wyoming government, which is mandated by statutes, then we're just messing around. I urge you to pass this amendment, move on, and then we'll have the fight afterwards. But let's make sure that the buildings stand and the teachers teach.
Question is, on second reading, amendment number 10 to Senate File 1, would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
Aye.
Almond?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Pace? Coe, Cooper, DiCaria, Beck, Geis, Hastert, Hines, Jennings, excuse, Joe, Johnson, Larson, Massey, Meyer, Mockler, Nicholas, Peck, excused, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Vasey, Von Slayton, President Schiffer,
no.
Closing vote, Larson, Archinell. Closing. Vote closed. 21 ayes, 7 noes, 2 excused.
Second reading, amendment number 10 to Senate File 1 has passed the Senate. We're on second reading number 11 to Senate File 1, the Scott Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read it in?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 11, budgets affected 60, Office of State Lands and Investments.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, this amendment is a little different. I call the Senate's attention to the line 10 of the amendment under general fund decrease amount. Mr. President, we do need to set some priorities here, and as I listened to the discussion in committee as a whole, we were having an increase in this particular office in the real estate function, and I got the figures and separated that out. As I understand it, the real estate office has to do with the selling of state lands. They also, I presume, have to do with some of the easements and things like that that they're handling already. But an increase in two positions is an increase in the people that will facilitate the sale of state land. Frankly, I think that's a mistake to be doing. This is a much lower priority than the other things that office is doing. They can keep up with their existing staff with the other real estate demands on the state lands, but I think it's a mistake at this point to accelerate the sales program, and this amendment is an attempt to prevent that and to set some priorities that there's other places that are more important for us to go spending money. So this is an attempt to cut the budget that's been approved in that respect. I urge adoption of the amendment.
Senator Vasey.
Mr. President, with all due respect to the esteemed Senator from Natrona County, this is the type of thinking that Ford Motor Company has. This is a $180 million business. This state land is $180 million. And that real estate function, and they're shorthanded, that real estate function does look at how you handle that real estate, how you can best manage that land. And so when you start two positions, pretty soon, I guess, a Honda will be coming through here, but that's... So I urge you to resist it.
Senator Geis, looking on the Gentry Amendment, the state land, we're the largest landowner in the state of Wyoming. And if we don't take care of and protect our state land, if we don't take care of our state land, nobody else is going to worry about it. We've always sought change for state land and everything we do. And this is what generates the money for the school, trust funds, everything we do with our kids. This is where it comes from. So I'd hope we defeat this amendment. Senator Nicholas.
Mr. President, it's a good amendment. Still gives the agency two employees. If they need the additional two next year, we'll give them that time.
Further discussion? Further discussion before the sponsor gets the second shot? Okay. The question is, on second reading amendment number 11, the Senate file 1, would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Almond? Barreto? Burns? Case? Coe? Cooper? Vicaria? Beck? Geist? Hastert? Hines? Jennings? Excused? Job? Johnson? Larson? Massey? Meyer? Moffler? Nicholas? Peck? Excused? Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Scott? Sessions? Townsend? Gracie? Von Slatern? President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 15 noes, 2 excused.
Second reading amendment number 11, the Senate File 1 has failed to pass the Senate. Mr. Vice President, would you take the chair, please?
The next amendment for our consideration is reading amendment number 12 to Senate File 1. The reading clerk will please read the amendment.
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 12, budgets affected, 67, University of Wyoming.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. Vice President, I would move second reading amendment number 12 to Senate File 1. Chairman, what this does is put $434,000 into the University of Wyoming's budget and the state aid for the state climatologist, the weather guy. Mr. Vice President, will recall, currently we're in a lawsuit with the state of Montana that says we're not sending them enough water down the Tongue and the Powder River. Mr. Vice President, a number of us attended a Council of State Governments meeting in Colorado this year. We spent a whole day on the Colorado River discussing on how much water we in the state of Wyoming actually have in the Colorado River. If you visit with anyone downstream from us, and everyone is downstream from us, the state of Wyoming doesn't have any water in the Colorado because they fully intend to take it away from us. If you look on the Platte River, right now there is a call on the wells that are adjacent to the Platte River. They're shutting those wells in because those wells provide the flows to the Platte River for Nebraska. It's anticipated there'll be an additional call on the Platte to satisfy the water we supposedly owe Nebraska this spring. That will affect the municipalities on the Platte. That water call, we've had one the last 3 years, anticipated we'll have it again. In visiting with the state climatologist, and you, by the way, he was over here and gave an excellent presentation last week. And we said, well, what do we do about this? And what he suggested to us, if you go in and show what the water flow is in each of those drainages. So when we did get hauled into court, we at least have some sort of information that says, wait a minute, we're not taking your water, we're not stealing your water, the water isn't there. Well, maybe the water is there, in which case we'll send it to them. What this says, and it goes in, Mr. Vice President, I'll run through very quickly what he suggested we do in the face of these people taking our water. We'll spend $58,000. This is a statewide effort. This is to go in and measure
18 soil, soil moisture sensors across the state to find out how much water we actually have. And this goes across all drainages. The next one is $127,000 from an evapotranspiration monitoring. But actually, that's a big long word to say. We're going to measure the loss of water from soils and in the upstream and those contaminants. Hopefully, to take care of our good neighbors to the north in Montana. The third priority is to go in for $153,000 and do some high elevation snowpack measurements in the upper Green River Basin. That's for our good friends to the south and west of us in Nevada and Arizona and Mexico and California. We've got to go see what we've got up there at these headwaters. And the fourth project is high elevation stream gauging. This is on the Wind River and the North Platte to measure what we actually have upstream. And this is for our good friends and neighbors down in Nebraska. Mr. Vice President, I bring this as in talking to people like the climatologists. Let's find out exactly what we need done, and let's go start doing this. Unless we want to have the same thing that's happened to us for the last 100 years, which is that we generate the moisture and our neighbors get to utilize the moisture. And it's time we start being proactive and saying, let's go in and let's get some facts that our people can take and say, we're not stealing your water. We want to keep down with water here in this state. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but understand I can't even pronounce the words we use, but I won't tell you what it does.
Well, Mr. Vice President, this is not a matter that came before the JAC, so I have no opinion, but I do think this. Unless you can say evapotranspiration three times fast, don't give them the money.
Other questions or discussion on this amendment?
Thank you all for the amendments. We spent $20 to $30 million in the last year against Nebraska in the last 20 years. You want to spend that, we better have the information so when we go to court, we know what we're talking about. So I'd ask you to vote for this amendment.
I wasn't going to talk about this, except this morning when we gaveled in, the reason I wasn't paying attention on that, I have no idea what my roll call vote was about. Where the couple that I was talking to were have interest family in the lower class where they called those wells. And they asked me what this was about. And the only thing I could say was this is a drought. An over-appropriated, underwatered basin. And this is a chance. And quite frankly, this gentleman is the first one to come forward and said, you know, we live in a dry state, but there are some things we could do and there's some places we could look. So I would hope you'd support this amendment.
Senator Perkins?
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I have also rise on and for this particular amendment. In my mind, this is classic one-time funding, and the opportunity that this provides. In a former life, I actually worked for a company who did a significant amount of modeling and data collection on these very classic systems, and the amount of utility and the modeling, the more efficiency that you can provide with your water use and how you manage it is just absolutely phenomenal. And until we have the data and the ability to manage the water, which as we look at that, we're headed, and it looks like if history repeats itself, we may be headed into a significant dry cycle, that this is something we can't afford to wait on. We have to move on it and move on it quickly.
Thank you, Majority Coordinator.
Vice President, a question for some information, and I'm trying to remember either last year or 2 years ago, we appropriated a sizable amount of water money for cloud seeding, and I was thinking there's quite a bit of monitoring in that appropriation. I wonder if there's any reports on just where we are with that program, if we did buy some monitoring equipment, and what information we're getting from that.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Vice President, arise to raise a concern about this particular amendment. We're, as I understand it, we're going to do high elevation monitoring so we can see how the snowpack is translated into stream flow. And that makes sense. You can say that then gives you the ability to say, look, the reason the water isn't there is it wasn't there to start with. Yeah, there's a drought, no water. But the concern I have is if they compare that high elevation monitoring and then look at what's at the state line and say Wyoming has consumptively used everything between, how do we beat back that? Because you not only have our consumptive use, but you have the natural losses from vegetation, evaporation, all the things that cause natural losses before you get to consumptive use. And with this particular amendment, are we building our enemy's case when they come trying to steal our water? Or are we going to have to spend a good deal more on monitoring at various other levels within the stream? I know we have some of that, but there's some limits to what we have. And I just, I'm not opposed to this, Mr. Vice President. I just want to make sure that we aren't providing half the information that's needed, and that the half we're providing isn't the half that our opponents are going to want to have.
Senator Kroll? Vice President, I think this amendment is very appropriate at this time because of, I don't know how, what the percentage is, but it's somewhere around 40-50% of the water that leaves the state of Wyoming and goes north into Montana. It ends up in the Yellowstone River, which is part of the Yellowstone River Compact. We have a situation over in the Bighorn Basin side on the Bighorn River, which is also the Wind River, coming out of the Wind River Mountains through Boyson and up through the basin. Buffaloville Reservoir ends up in there, Yellowtail. Right now, the state of Montana is pushing the button on us on discharges below the dam at Yellowtail. The other thing I think why it's so appropriate, because if you interpret how Wyoming plays into the Yellowstone River Compact, which is the Yellowstone River, obviously, the Clark Fork River, North Dakota, the Bighorn River, the Tongue and the Powder, Montana interprets things differently. You got the Clark Fork River that comes out of Wyoming. It's only used by us for maybe 7 or 8 miles after it comes out of the canyon before it goes into Montana. So I think we need interpretive data when it comes to trying to figure out, for instance, I'm not going to talk about Nebraska. I'm going to talk about neighbors to the south. I'm talking about neighbors to the north, where there's a lot of discussion going on. This is something that will be very beneficial as we start trying to interpret what's going on with the Yellowstone River Compact, of which Wyoming is a member.
Vice President, my question really has to do with the funding source. I know when we created Water Development 3, it was for the long-term planning, for the possibility of increasing our reservoir capacity. And I guess my question is, why didn't we take this out of the fund that we established to protect our water resources in the future through reservoirs, planning, that kind of thing?
Other questions or discussion before the sponsor rises?
Just briefly to attempt to answer the majority floor leader's question. In the Sierra Madres and the Snowy Range in the south, they, after due diligence and going through the environmental procedures and everything that they had to do, have got the generators set up. The Wind River is still tied up in some environmental concerns, and I believe the salt is the same position. I know they flew a plane through last spring early, just to set that. There are monitoring stations, but this is, and I don't know how much they've done that because of the storms. The early storms were coming in with this kind of upslope. They hit the valleys, but they didn't seem to get to the mountains. So I don't know if they, in these last few storms, whether they turned those generators on. But part of what the climatologist said was that we monitor about once a month. And his suggestion was that it was almost daily, hourly monitoring of that to see when you catch that. The computer models are ready to go so that you can catch, you know, the storm, the traditional storms coming from the west. When they come up, you can catch it
get them to dump some moisture there, and then you can catch it as they go up on the other side. How much of that, I don't know, and I need to find that out. But those two valley or mountain ranges are going.
Other discussion or other questions before the sponsor rises for his second spot? Mr. Vice President,
and I'll try to answer some of the concerns I share, the concerns of my colleagues from Natoma County. How is this going to help us to make sure it doesn't hinder us? And the state climatologist is very upfront. What he wants to do, and this is over on the high elevation steam gauging, the $96,000, is marry up the other places. Quite expensive calibration unit, but he marries that up with existing rears, existing sites where we've done measurements, going back particularly in the 1950s, and then again some of those sites, they have records from the 1920s and 30s, and what he's trying to do is say, wait a minute, let's go back to what the true historical flows were, and say this is what the flow is, for example, in the North Platte. So we can go in and say, wait a minute, what you're trying to take from us are not historically justifiable. And he was ready for that type of discussion. He believes that for $96,000, we can make a good case, for example, in the plant, to say, no, Nebraska, that is not an historical flow. We've got to negotiate somehow and say, this is where it really ought to be at. In terms of my colleague from down here in Laramie County, the reason I didn't go into water development, let's face it, and look where we're sending the money. We're sending it to the university. Part of it is to advise, to work with our water development structure and all of that. I think there's a component here that will be invaluable to them. But I also think there's a component in here, an educational component. And that is not a function of the Water Development Commission. This is to educate students at the university on how to measure and, by the way, protect one of our most valuable natural resources, which is water. And that's the reason I elected to use general fund money rather than water, any one of the water lines where it was normally coming up. But I'm hoping that we get more than just the immediate results. I'm hoping we can educate our students and give them the tool and research to protect our water.
Seeing no further discussion, the question before us is whether second reading amendment number 12 to Senate file 1 should pass. The clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Hallman? Barrasso? Burns? Case? Coe? Cooper? DeCaria? Beck? Geis? Hasters? Hines? Jennings? Job? Johnson? Larson? Massey? Meyer? Mockler? Nicholas? Peck excused? Perkins? Peterson? Ross? Scott? Sessions? Townsend? Vasey? Von Slatern? President Schiffer? Close. Case, no to aye. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 excused.
That amendment has passed.
The next amendment is second reading amendment number 13 to Senate file 1, the Ross Coe Larson amendment. Would the reading clerk please read the amendment in?
Senate file 1, second reading amendment number 13, budgets affected, number 67, University of Wyoming.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 13 to Senate file one and urge the body's favorable consideration. You note that this is sponsored by myself and Senator Toe and Larson, but actually Senator Vasey is supposed to be on this amendment, and I apologize to him because he was and is a co-sponsor of this amendment. What this amendment does is it goes in and appropriates $400,000 to the University of Wyoming, to the athletic department, to assist the University of Wyoming in its recruiting and guaranteed game budgets, and requires a report back to the Appropriations Committee by September 1 of 2007 on the status of the University of Wyoming and its plan for competitiveness. This is a match, $400,000. We have a new athletic director, as you all know, and when he came in and started reviewing the athletic department, he found some startling facts that he thought needed to be addressed, and he had, in the process of doing a competitive plan for keeping the University of Wyoming athletic competitive. There are 17 different sports that are affected by this amendment, and what it really boils down to, and that you've had handouts from other papers, but this was the Cheyenne paper last month that had some startling information in it with regards to Wyoming and its ability to recruit and or to get a competitive scheduling into the state of Wyoming. Our current AD actually was the AD at Portland State before he came to the University of Wyoming. And at that time, he had discussions with Gary Barta about coming and having Portland State play the University of Wyoming in football. And the fact of the matter was is that that was a 1AA school, and Portland State could not afford to come for the amount of money that we could offer them. The minimum just for a 1AA school now is $300,000. And when you start looking at bigger schools, and you start looking at the amount of money that they require for, say, home-and-home games or guaranteed game payment, it's astounding. 1AA opponents generally require at least a minimum of $300,000. 1A, just your lower tier, opponents require a minimum of $550,000. State of Washington State, for instance, pays $1.5 million guaranteed money if you come and will play them at Pullman. So you look at other things, other sports. $10,000 for women's basketball, $5,000 for volleyball, and it goes on down the line. The fact of the matter is that with this money, our athletic director will have to generate additional $400,000. He anticipates that he will need $800,000 a year to keep Wyoming on the playing level that we all want it to be on. With that said, I would urge your favorable consideration of this amendment. I think it's important. I think it will assist our university in keeping it a preeminent school in the area of athletics, both boys and girls.
Further discussion. Senator Cole.
Mr. President, in support of the amendment, it's pretty much an intercollegiate athletics. It's all about money. And I would draw your attention to a small school up in Spokane, Washington called Gonzaga that has had tremendous success in basketball. And the money that has generated through the success they've had playing quality opponents. It's huge dollars to that school. Now, if you think about the dollar factor, the real thing I think happens here, if we invest the money into the program so that they can recruit better, play more quality opponents, that turns around and generates more money for the athletic department. It's all about the money. The University of Michigan is not going to come and play football at the University of Wyoming at 7,000 feet unless there's some money there to do it. It's all about the money. So I would urge you to support the amendment. It is a 50-50 match, and it's something that, you know, this is only one university, and we have a lot of pride in our athletic program over there.
And I think it would do a lot to help that, and I'd urge you to support the amendment.
Further discussion? Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have some concerns about this amendment. First of all, I don't think that this is requiring a $400,000 match. If I read the amendment correctly, it just simply says the report that's going to be generated needs to have a plan on how they're going to come up with the $400,000. So I don't think this money is going to be matched. And frankly, I like the part about the report. I think we should have a report first that includes a policy decision by the university and something that the legislature can buy into as to where we want to go with this. As we heard from the first speaker in support of this amendment, this can involve millions of dollars potentially, and we need to make a policy decision. Do we want to spend that kind of money to bring folks into Laramie in order to play football, basketball, and other sports? Frankly, I could probably agree with it if we want to bring them in to play football in November. But, you know, it's nice there in September and October, and perhaps we shouldn't have to pay as much. But I think that there are quite a few questions with regard to this, and I'm not sure giving them $400,000 right now, is I'm not sure how that's going to be spent, because there's no policy behind it. There's no rhyme or reason as to what road we want to go down here. So I would urge defeat of this amendment. I think that we can certainly require the university in a third reading amendment report that to come back to us and have a policy in which we can buy into it.
Further discussion, Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge your support of the amendment. And actually, it kind of is a policy decision. A lot of people don't think we ought to be doing athletics to this level in the state of Wyoming. They don't think that's a priority, and maybe we hadn't ought to be doing that. Coming from out in the hinterlands, I have another view. I think athletics at the University of Wyoming is probably one of the single greatest uniters from all aspects of the state of Wyoming that there is out here. I think it's important to the university to have a good athletic program. Now, if you believe otherwise, I understand that. But I happen to think that is important, that it is a part of a strong university. It creates its image, but I will submit to you that there's maybe, I would say, 50% of the people in the state of Wyoming that their only connection with the University of Wyoming is through the athletic department. And if we're going to do it, let's do it right. Do we need Michigan? No, we don't. I think we can get by without some of those. But the fact is, and there are some handouts there, that if we're going to continue to compete at the level we are in the Mountain West Conference, we at least need to be able to do some of the same things that our competitors within the conference are. I don't think this amounts to excessive. It does say at the bottom, and maybe we need some tweaking on second reading, that it will be matched. They can generate the money. I know they can. We showed that over and over and over. The folks at the athletic program to about half the state of Wyoming is the only connection they have to the university. And if we're going to have a first-class university, a university with a good image, and there are those who say that has nothing to do with the teaching ability and so on, I would submit to you that the image has a lot to do with how a university is perceived. And so I would ask you to support the amendment. It's not that much. They will match the money, I'm sure. If we need to tweak that language on third reading, that's fine. But if we're going to do it, let's do it at least up to the level of our competition. And I think this would go a long way to be doing that.
Further discussion? Question? Senator Ross. Senator Ross, I'm sorry. I'll ask you to sit back down, Senator Brasso, before Senator Ross takes the second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. Competitiveness in sports has been there a long time. And not just in our state, but in other states that just have one major university. Mr. President, there was a governor in Louisiana in 1930. His name was Huey Long, but we're not supposed to use proper names here, so he was known as the Kingfish. And the Kingfish wanted to be competitive. His passion was football. He yearned, Mr. President, to create the best LSU team that state money could buy. He says, I don't fool around with any losers. That's what he told a friend. So in December of 1930, he called the coach of the football team, LSU, to the governor's mansion. He gave him a 3-year contract and made him the highest paid coach anywhere in the southern United States. And then he demanded that his coaches recruit top athletes from across the country. During 1 4-month period, Mr. President, he had 4-star players living right there in the governor's mansion where he fed them steaks and milkshakes twice a day to fatten them up. At night, Mr. President, the Kingfish took his players to the huge ballroom they had in the mansion that he had built there, and he set up chairs. And then he would run between the chairs to explain to his players how the best plays worked, because he drew them up himself, and he was the Kingfish. He also liked to go in at halftime, Mr. President, and really encourage the team during the halftime season. At one time, LSU was losing at halftime. They were down 13-0. He went in to inspire him. He said, quote, if you win, I'll give every slap damn one of you a job on the highway commission. Mr. President, LSU came back and they won. Mr. President, this amendment is a lot cheaper than putting everybody on the highway commission, and I would recommend that we adopt it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Roth, do you want to follow up from that? Just a second. Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I think that actually more aptly shows that the problem isn't a lack of money, it's a lack of commitment by the present governor here in Wyoming.
Any other comments? Senator Roth.
Mr. President, never mind.
The question is, on second reading amendment number 13, the Senate file 1, would the chief clerk please call the roll?
Anderson? Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
Vicaria?
No.
Beck?
No.
Geist?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Hines? Jennings?
Aye.
Joe? Johnson?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Peck? Excused? Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Gresham?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
No.
Von Flater?
No.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 10 ayes, 19 noes, 1 excuse.
By your action, second reading amendment 13 has failed the Senate. Second reading amendment number 39, Senate file 1. The Massey, Coe, Roth, Barrasso, and Scott amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 1, second reading amendment number 39, multiple budgets affected. Section 67, University of Wyoming.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move second reading amendment number 39 to Senate File 1 and request that further reading of the amendment be dispensed with. Mr. President, this is a request for one-time money from one-time funds and is part of the roadmap that's been distributed. It involves continuing support of the University of Wyoming and Community College endowments and challenge matching funds that we've set up and have been very successful over the years. And this funding will permit 5 different institutions, the university and 4 community colleges, to take advantage of the one-time opportunity for matching funds over the next year. If you don't provide the funding for them through this amendment or through this session, then these opportunities, most of them will go by the wayside. Mr. President, a few years ago, we provided the first of these kind of challenge matching funding to the University of Wyoming, $35 million, as part of the challenge for building their endowment. And eventually that reached over $200 million. It was wildly successful. We then followed up with $10 million for athletics, which I did vote for and certainly support a first-grade athletic program at the university.
And then with regard to capital facilities, we started that challenge program, and that has also been very successful, and I'll get back to some of the details on that in a second. Mr. President, we then set up a challenge matching program for all seven of the community colleges, which continues through 2009. Four of the community colleges have already raised all the money that we provide for the matching, and four of them can use an additional $2 million between now and 2009 when this expires. The amendment, Mr. President, is on line 17 and 18 of the first page of the amendment, provides an additional $1.65 million to the University of Wyoming Endowment. This goes along with the $25 million that we provided them last session, and this will get them through next year for a total of $26.65 million that they can raise a matching fund for their endowment over this biennium. And that's the new language that folks will see on lines 23 through 25 on the amendment. It's to ensure that that's used for just endowment purposes. Then, Mr. President, on lines 27 through 28, is another $6.35 million for their facilities endowment. I refer folks to the handout that came out a few minutes ago. It's probably buried in your box. And you'll see the very specific type of facilities that the university is raising money for, and which is also in the budget bill. And so you know that the funds will be focused just on these specific facilities. As you look down that middle column of numbers, what you'll see, Mr. President, is right now, including the recent $10 million donation with regard to the Natural History Center, that there's a $6.35 million deficit at this point that this amendment will provide. And finally, Mr. President, on Section 333 is $8 million that's provided, $2 million each to LCCC, Sheridan, Northwest and Casper College, in order for them to use that $2 million each to continue their matching endowment. Mr. President, this will go for very good uses at all five of these facilities. It will strengthen our higher education mission, and we're going to do it jointly with some private donations and private donors who are willing to step forth and strengthen all of our institutions. I urge favorable consideration of this amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd like everybody to look at the facilities matching funds thing that the good senator from Albany County just looked at. Mr. President, to me, this represents what I would say is fuzzy math. Mr. President, in one column you have the estimated budget, the next column you have the state match, and the other column you have current commitments. And this is how we get a deficit, Mr. President. Halfway down, you have a state match that we already have there at $30,350,000. Yet we have current commitments of only $10.95 million. So from that difference there's almost $20 million more in state match already currently in the budget than we have current commitments for. And from that, we get a deficit. We actually have over $20 million more than we actually need today based on what the current commitments are. The biggest shortfall, Mr. President, is in the area of the School of Energy Facilities Resources Facility, where there's a $13 million deficit there as far as current commitments. So we can get another $13 million and before we manage state match there. We're also in animal science, molecular biology edition. There's $2.5 million there that's needed. Another $500,000 in the interdisciplinary learning center, and another $1.6 million in the engineering agricultural lab facilities. So, Mr. President, I guess I look at this and I say to myself that through an inadvertent goldenrod duplication, we over-appropriated $15 million. Now, I don't know how we can do that, except that last year we didn't know what we were voting on, and we gave them an extra $15 million. The governor came back in and added another $10 million on top of the $15 million that we inadvertently over-appropriated last year. So we make the $15 million mistake for their benefit, and we come back, and now they still have a $6.35 million shortfall. So even though the current commitments haven't met the appropriated state match fund. So, Mr. President, in the end, when it's all ran out, several years down the road probably, they may need a $6.35 million match. But, Mr. President, I guess my question really is what did we do before we did the endowments? Were there no contributions to the University of Wyoming? Did we never have anybody donate to them? I don't think that's the case, Mr. President. I expect this one to probably go forward, but I think in the future we just need to really look at whether or not some of the things that we're doing here, because we gave them an extra $15 million that we didn't even know we gave them last year. That's fairly sloppy bookwork, I think. But even at that, Mr. President, they're coming back for some more money, and it just, to me, it's going to remain fuzzy math whether we vote for it or against it.
Further discussion? Senator Jobe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't think there's a soul in this room or who's listening that doesn't know what my commitment to education is. And I don't think I've ever risen against an amendment for the University of Wyoming, but I am now, and I am urging defeat of this amendment, and I'll explain to you why. If you have your packet handy that we received yesterday, and you go to page 8 of 28, I'd like to paint the whole picture here. And on the summary of 2006 budget session final actions, this is page 8 of 28, if you look at the bottom half of the page at the University of Wyoming, the grand total was $467 million that we appropriated in the biennial budgeting process for the University of Wyoming. That's not small change. That includes money to their block grant and endowment needs, medical education, capital construction, major maintenance, the library, capital facilities match, and the School of Energy Resources. Right under that, you will see what we did for the community colleges, to a tune of $209 million. That also included their block grants for their money, major maintenance, capital construction, and community college libraries. If you go to page 4 of 28, you will see on the Community College Commission what we have done this time. And there you have 824 for Even Start, 7.3 for faculty increases, plus we've already passed an amendment for another $5 million, 200 for veterans tuition, 297 for public TV, and here it says that we denied $27 million for capital construction. However, as we all know, we passed that out of here in a bill. If you look at the University of Wyoming and you add up everything we've done there, including money for salary adjustments, we're talking about another $38 million. So, Mr. President, we have been incredibly generous, and appropriately so, with our university and community colleges. In addition to that, when NCAR was first announced, the suggestion was that the university might contribute $10 million to that effort. That is not happening. As you can see from the roadmap and future amendments, we're going to pick that up through the Business Ready Community. I mean the Business Council. So there's another $10 million that will benefit the university. This amendment is a $16 million amendment. And if you look at the roadmap, I think this becomes a question of what is gravy and what is essential. And in the roadmap, our cities, towns, and counties, even if we pass another amendment, are only going to end up at $55 million. You divide that by 23 counties and 100 municipalities, none of them get very much, at least nothing significant to accomplish or complete a major project. So I think what we have before us is, do we give a little more gravy to the University of Wyoming?
And I think they'll get it eventually, and next year would be fine with me. Or do we take this money and put it where we have some really essential needs? Mr. President, I would ask the body to vote no on this amendment.
Senator Scott?
Well, Mr. President, what's the sanction? President, what's essential for the future of our state, both economically and personally, for our children and our grandchildren, is that we have a first-class education system. Because as you look to the future, it is quite clear in our high-tech society, education is becoming more and more and more important. And we have embarked on a course, Mr. President, that the President of the University has said, and I think quite accurately, is heading us toward having the best public education system from kindergarten through graduate school of any state in these United States. Mr. President, that is a very worthwhile ambition. That will build the future for our children and our grandchildren, like nothing else we can do. And I would suggest to the Senate that the taxpayers of the state aren't going to be able to afford to do the whole job. And this program, with its challenge aspect, has been extraordinarily successful in attracting donations and raising more money from the private sector and sharing that burden. And I think it is a wise expenditure on our part to provide the matching funds here, because it will raise private funds. They will be permanent funds. They will provide the revenue when the next downturn comes, so that we can retain our excellence and do a first-class job that we need to have done for the future of our state. And I urge Dr. Nunez.
Further discussion, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I too urge adoption of this amendment. This is in the profile, so we can afford to do it. With respect to the state match, and we already know that more matching dollars are coming in, and folks are going to need these matches. What we did in the budget, though, is we made sure that the projects that are authorized for matching are in the budget. The matching dollars have to be used for these specific projects. Now, these projects have been part of the budget for some time. There was some discussion about the generated from some source of using some of the matching funds for the NCAR project. Our budget prohibits that. Those matching dollars that we set up don't belong to the university to say where they go. They don't belong to anybody else. There are priorities that we set in this room. And we set those matching dollars for these facilities, which are part of the capital construction program for the university. It's part of their long-term goals to have these facilities as part of their teaching facilities. If we don't do the match, we'll end up building these buildings if we want to achieve their excellence by constructing these buildings, and we'll be called upon to build 100% of them. But we know that if we set out the goals, we put in our budget and said, these are the buildings that you will use your matching funds. Nowhere else. These are the buildings that we know that are in your plan, that we approve in your plan, and you use these dollars, we expect and we think the university will raise the dollars. We'll get these facilities constructed essentially at half of the cost. So when you look at the budget, all we've done is filled out the balance of the matching funds that we didn't pick up in prior biennials for buildings that we already had targeted to construct. I urge your support of the amendment.
Senator Manchin.
Thank you, Mr. President. And with regard to, I hope that takes care of the
concern that this is fuzzy math. Indeed, it is not. It is very precise, and if the funding doesn't come in for this, then the money reverts. And so the funding will be specifically used for these very important buildings that want further education. There's also a comment with regard to pre-endowment age. There's no comparison. When we first put that $35 million match, challenge match into place, the university's fundraising ability were in the single digits year in and year out. And I mentioned it's now over $200 million we're able to generate from that $35 million match. And there's a great deal of money coming in right now to both the universities and the community colleges as a result of the energy boom that's going on. And there's an awful lot of companies, both in the energy industry and outside of it, that are very interested in helping us build our system of higher education. And if we don't have the matching funds there, then we're missing a big opportunity. And finally, with regard to the community colleges, I think that in particular it's very important for them. The opportunities that they're building to bring in some private funds to help build up our community colleges are very important to everybody in the state, not only to the people in that community and in those service districts, but to us. Keep in mind the debate we've already had on this floor about how we're going to fund community colleges into the future. These four colleges in particular are out there getting private donations for the very first time to help out with those. And this one-time money will go to help them become more self-sufficient and also to help them build the quality of their institutions.
Question is, on second reading amendment number 39 to Senate File 1, would the Assistant Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
No.
Burns?
No.
Kate?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Icaria?
No.
Beck?
No.
Geis?
No.
Haftert?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
No.
Johnson? Larson,
yes.
Massey,
yes.
Meyer,
yes.
Mockler, Nicholas,
yes.
Peck excused, Perkins,
yes.
Peterson,
yes.
Ross,
yes.
Scott,
yes.
Sessions,
yes.
Townsend,
yes.
Basie,
yes.
Von Fladern,
yes.
President Schiffer,
yes.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 17 ayes, 12 noes, 1 excused.
Second reading amendment number 39 to Senate File 1 has passed the Senate. Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, we have some visitors in the gallery. Up behind you, and they are our elementary students from Acrobat, some of them, and they have their tablets with them, and I'm sure they have a list of questions that they're going to have to answer, and they're our Trailblazer program, and I'd like us to welcome them to the Senate.
Welcome, Trailblazers. I hope you enjoy your stay at the Senate. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it's a pleasure to introduce some old friends of yours and mine. First off, in this corner here, he's not standing, but we'll try to get him to stand. This is the former occupant of this chair, Senator Mark Hare. And let's all welcome Mark Hare. And Mr. President, Mark's not alone. He's been—he's now a resident of, the best Senate district that I think anywhere. But I get to be his senator, and he's became very involved in helping youth, Native American youth throughout the West and on the Wind River Reservation. And we're joined today by students and their sponsors from St. Stephen's Indian School and the Wyoming Indian High School, who are participating in the Education Talent Search and Upward Bound programs at Central Wyoming College and the University of Wyoming. And with these students, come on, how about you guys all stand up? We've got Jared Vest from St. Stephen's. Wave, Jared, who was elected by the students from our state region as president of the Aspire Student Leadership Congress. And you know all about that, Mr. President, because you helped me. And we worked with Senator Harris, who bossed us around for a couple days, and we were able to help with that program. And we have Stephen Carpenter. Stephen, also from St. Stephen's, who was selected as chair of the Judiciary Committee. So look out, Senator Ross, you got some competition. Would you help me to welcome these wonderful students?
Welcome back, Senator Harris, and students, glad to see you down here in Cheyenne. Fellow senators, if you ever get the opportunity to participate in that Aspire Leadership program, it's a very challenging program, but it is also a very, very rewarding program. Those students are great to work with, and I thoroughly enjoyed the time I was able to spend over in Riverton working with them on that program. Mr. Majority Party.
Mr. President, I ask that we take a short recess.
The Senate will be in recess for the sound of the gavel.